Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. To be fully surrendered to Yah, to operate in His Spirit, and to live the life He has called us out to live, we must learn to discern. Discernment is so important for His people. It's how we separate the things out that are of Him from those that are not. It helps to guide us, helps us to make decisions, helps us to determine between one thing and another. And His people have to rely on their discernment. And in the future, our discernment is going to be so important for us. And the things that we do, the decisions we make, the things that He calls on us to do, we have to know for certain that the things we are being obedient to and the things that we are being called to do are from Him. And discernment helps us to keep ourselves set apart. This whole world is deceived, and it's following its own way, because the world has no discernment. The world only knows things of the world. And so our Abba gives us this gift of being able to separate things out so that we don't come under deception. He has called us out to freedom. He has called us out to truth. He wants us to be able to make the right decisions. And in order to do that, we have to be able to discern where things are coming from and what is of Him. You know, when we are children and just learning about how things work in the world, how do we learn right from wrong? You know, we have parents that teach us. There are people who care about us, who teach us to determine what is right from what is wrong. Let's take a look at Genesis 2, verse 15. Genesis 2 and verse 15. And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "Eat of every tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall certainly die." And Yahweh Elohim said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I am going to make a helper for him as his counterpart." Like any loving parent, Yah was trying to protect and spare man from being exposed to things that he was not ready for. You know, we protect our children and we protect their young minds as they are growing up. Children don't even have a chance to be children anymore in this world, in this society that we live in. There is just this constant push to expose them to things that are even hard for some adults to deal with. And they're forced into this position of growing up, and they don't even have a time of innocence anymore. You know, when Adam and Hava were in the garden. They had that childlike innocence. They had this safe environment that Yah had provided for them, and they were protected there. And he was teaching them. He was exposing them to things as he was able to teach and prepare them. He was carefully watching over how they were learning things. And that's the same thing that we as parents do for our children. It's out of love and concern, and because we want them to learn to make the right choices, and our Abba wants us to learn to make the right choices. And in order to do that, we have to be able to discern. Okay, let's look at Genesis 3, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1. And the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it true that Elohim has said, 'Do not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, 'Do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die.'" That's a pretty serious warning, isn't it? And obviously, Elohim had impressed that on Hava. She remembered it. And by the serpent asking her this question, it came immediately back to her mind. It's the same way like when we warn our children about things, right? I mean, one of the first things we teach them is not to touch things that are hot, like the stove. And, you know, it's our love for them that drives that. We don't want to see them hurt. And Abba did not want to see his children hurt either. And so he gave them this stern warning. You know, how many of us have warned our children, you know, that could cause you to die? You know, if you run out in front of a car, you're going to die. So the Hebrew word that is translated crafty here is arum. That's ayin resh mem. And it means cunning or subtle. You know, and what do we take away from that? What is this description telling us? You know, Hebrew words are very descriptive as well as being action words. So, what can we tell about this serpent? It's a lying, deceiving thing, isn't it? It comes with a lying, deceiving spirit. Okay, the word arum comes from the root word aram, which means to be or make bare, as in being naked. So, it is used in the sense of something that is smooth or cunning, something that's sly, something that is deceitful and does not come revealing itself as it is. It's covering something up. So what did Adam and Hava say to Yah when he came looking for them after they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Yet they knew they had done something wrong, didn't they? As soon as their minds were open, they knew, uh-oh, we probably shouldn't have done this. Okay, Genesis 3, verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of Yahweh Elohim walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, Who made you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? You know, in this whole situation, when you read this, it reminds you so much of children who are caught doing something that they shouldn't do. Yeah, and they think they can hide. And they think they can cover it up. But Abba knew. He knew exactly what happened. So Adam and Chava were deceived by the lying, deceiving spirit because they did not use the discernment they were given. You know, Chava knew they were not to eat of the fruit of that tree. Adam knew they were not to eat of the fruit of that tree. And they both went against what Yah had told them. How many of us could apply this same situation to things we have done in our lives? We have all done things we knew we should not have done, even as the voice inside of us was screaming at us not to. Danger, warning, stay away, don't do it. But we took that step anyway. And we always pay a price for that, don't we? We always pay a price when we go against what we know we should do. And look at the price Adam and Chava pay here. It's a great price. And there was a great change in them when they disobeyed and ate of that fruit. And, you know, there was something within them that they had never felt before. They were afraid of Yah. They were afraid of him because they understood and knew that they had done wrong. And they hid themselves from him. The lying, deceiving spirit drove a wedge between them and Yah. And it does the same thing to us. That lying, deceiving spirit wants us separated from our Abba. You know, as we come to understand the truth of Yah's word, we come up against things that seem so strange and foreign to us when we compare them to what we have been taught, that sometimes we doubt, and sometimes we even reject what his spirit is showing us and speaking to us and telling us. We reject the truth. The lying, deceiving spirit convinces us to put the word of man above the word of Yah. And we've all experienced, as we came to understand Yah's word in a deeper way, and we continue to have these experiences where we come up against something in his word that really makes us stop and think. And we evaluate that against what we have known in the past. And sometimes it seems like it's something just too much for us to even believe or consider. Because, you know, we allow our minds to limit us. And so we would rather take the word of a man, of something that we've been taught, because something we see in Yah's word may be way beyond anything we've ever considered before. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 13. That's why I always say, rethink, relearn, and return. We have to rethink everything. We have to examine everything and evaluate everything against His word. That is our standard. And that's the benchmark that we use. And we measure everything against His word. And it doesn't matter what we've been taught in the past, what beliefs, what doctrines we bring along with us. Everything has to be evaluated in the light of Yah's word. You know, there are many traditions and, you know, rituals and practices that people hold on to. And, you know, I understand that they're near and dear to them. I had some of those practices myself. But when we compare those and look at those and evaluate those against God's word and what He tells us to do, you know, those things have to go. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 13. And the messenger who had gone to call Micaiahu spoke to him, saying, "See now, the words of the prophets with one mouth are good towards the sovereign. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and you shall speak good." And Micaiahu said, "As Yahweh lives, whatever Yahweh says to me, that I speak." And he came to the sovereign, and the sovereign said to him, "Micaiahu, do we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or do we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for Yahweh shall give it into the hand of the sovereign." And the sovereign said to him, "How many times have I made you swear that you do not speak to me except the truth in the name of Yahweh?" So he said, "I saw all Yisrael scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, 'These have no master. Let everyone return to his house in peace.'" And the sovereign of Yisrael said to Jehoshaphat, "Have I not said to you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Then he said, "Therefore hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the host of the heavens standing by him on his right and on his left. And Yahweh said, 'Who shall entice Ahav to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' And this one said this, and another said that. And a spirit came forward and stood before Yahweh and said, 'Let me entice him.' And Yahweh said to him, 'In what way?' And he said, 'I shall go out and be a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'Entice him and also prevail. Go out and do so.' And now see, Yahweh has put a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning you." Ahav had no discernment. He was deceived by the cunning and smooth spirit that lied to him through all of his prophets. He was convinced in his own mind that he would win the battle, and he ignored the true prophet of Yah. What is the picture here? Discernment. Discerning what is of Yah and what is not. Micaiahu was the true discerning voice of Yah, but he was drowned out by those who were filled with the lying, deceiving spirit. Who are you going to listen to? How many lying, deceiving spirits are out there right now? How many spirits want to deceive you? How many want to tell you lies and speak cunning and deceitfully to you make you disobey the word of Yah and to go against what he has told his people they should do. His standard, his way of life. Living a life that's set apart to him. Well, Ahav thought that he was going to still have his own way. And he disguised himself as they went into battle. So, the interesting thing to think about here is somewhere deep inside, there was some doubt. There was some doubt in Ahav, and he should have listened and paid attention to that doubt. That was some of his discernment, trying to get through and warn him. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 29. And the sovereign of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the sovereign of Yehuda, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the sovereign of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Let me disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes." So the sovereign of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And the sovereign of Aram had commanded the 32 commanders of his chariots, saying, "Fight with no one, small or great, but only with the sovereign of Israel." And it came to be, when the commanders of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "Indeed, it is the sovereign of Israel." So they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to be, when the commanders of the chariots saw that it was not the sovereign of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a man drew a bow in his simplicity and smote the sovereign of Israel between the joints of his armor. And he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, and the sovereign was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans and died at evening. And the blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. That lying, deceiving spirit had its way with Ahav, and he paid dearly for that. That lying, deceiving spirit wants us dead, and it will come to us subtly and cunningly and smoothly, smiling and speaking nicely while it is full of lies and deceptions. King Shaul had a spirit that troubled him, and a darkness would come over him at times. Shaul was a tortured man. He followed his own way and did not discern that he was being led astray. He was filled with Yah's spirit at the beginning, but he allowed himself to be deceived. He started taking things into his own hands. He started doing what he wanted to do and to disobey the direct word of Yahweh that was given to him. That lying spirit can convince you that what you are doing is the right thing to do. I have seen it happen to people personally. They become convinced in their own mind that what they are doing is the correct thing to do, even though it goes against the word of Yah. We can't put a price on that discernment that Yah gives us. It means life and death to us, literally. Literally. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. First Samuel 16 and verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day and onwards. And Shmuel arose and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of Yahweh turned aside from Shaul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. And the servants of Shaul said to him, "Look, now an evil spirit from Elohim is troubling you." His servants, Shaul's servants, discerned what was going on with him. "Please let our master command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skilled player on the lyre. And it shall be that when the evil spirit from Elohim is upon you, that he shall play with his hand and you be well." The Spirit of Yah was on David, and it was because he was filled with Yah's Spirit. And he yielded himself to it. So he was able to soothe Shaul. The Spirit of Yah in David would drive out the evil spirit in Shaul. You know, David discerned what needed to be done here. And he discerned the problem with Shaul. We don't know what the songs were that David played. But what he did soothed Shaul and caused that spirit to depart. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 21. "And David came to Shaul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. Shaul therefore sent to Yishai, saying, 'Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my eyes.' And it came to be, whenever the evil spirit from Elohim was upon Shaul, that David would take a lyre and play it with his hand. Then Shaul would become refreshed and well, and the evil spirit would leave him." You know, we know David is a picture, a type of Messiah. And you see the contrast between the two of them. Is Shaul, because he lacked discernment and because he didn't follow what Yah had told him, and because that spirit came upon him and convinced him to do things he shouldn't do, he just continued to go downhill. He continued to lose his standing. His relationship with Yah deteriorated. And even though he was still the sovereign, he was sinking lower and lower and lower. That discernment that Abba gives us is so important. Look at all of the things in the world we're faced with. And, you know, we know what's coming in the future. And, you know, about that time that's coming, the time of the end, Yeshua says, if possible, even the elect would be deceived. That tells me that we are going to have to rely heavily on our discernment, because there is going to be deception everywhere. And it's going to be very convincing, and many people are going to fall for the deception. Don't think it's going to be so blatant and in your face that you will easily be able to decide. It's going to take the discernment that Abba gives us. And we need to learn how to use that discernment and how to sharpen it and how to start looking around us and determining where that lying, deceiving spirit is at. Because that spirit can come to you anytime, anywhere, and through anyone, even those closest to you. If we are not fully surrendered to Yah and operating in His Spirit, then how can we ever please Him and live the life that He has called us to? You know, that lying, deceiving spirit can convince us that our way is Yah's way. And we live our lives thinking we are pleasing Him and doing as He asks of us, when in reality we are really following our own way. There is a whole world of people out there who think that they're in good standing with Yah and that they're living their lives the way that He wants them to, when really they're following what they want to do. To live the life that Yah calls us to, it is a life of surrender. A surrender of everything. You know, we lose our lives in Him. We lose ourselves in Him. And what we want and what we seek doesn't matter anymore, because we live our lives for Him. We have given ourselves to Him. We owe Him our lives, don't we? It's discerning. It's discerning what He wants. It's discerning when He moves in your life. It's discerning what He wants you to do. And even though it may seem like that goes against everything you have ever known to be true, we have to trust. You know, at some point, you know, we all have these urgings when we know that Abba is pushing on us in a direction and that He's impressing on us to do something. And at some point, we have got to start trusting that, and we have got to start acting on that. It's going to mean life and death for us. Yeshua strayed so far from Yah that he even went to a spiritist and asked her to raise Samuel from the grave so that he could speak with him. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 7. Shaul then said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, to go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Look, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." And Shaul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Please divine for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name." But the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Shaul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to put me to death?" And Shaul swore to her by Yah, saying, "As Yahweh lives, no punishment comes upon you for this matter." And the woman said, "Whom do I bring up for you?" So he said, "Bring up Shmuel for me." And when the woman saw Shmuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Shaul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? You yourself are Shaul." And the sovereign said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Shaul, "I saw a spirit coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Shaul knew that it was Shmuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did obeisance. And Shmuel said to Shaul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Shaul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines are fighting against me, and Elohim has turned aside from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams." So I have called you to reveal to me what I should do. Then Shmuel said, and why do you ask me, seeing Yah has turned aside from you and has become your enemy? And Yahweh has done for himself as he spoke by me. For Yahweh has torn the rein out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David, because you did not obey the voice of Yahweh nor execute his burning wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, Yahweh has done this matter to you today. Further, Yahweh also gives Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons are with me. Yahweh also gives the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines, and immediately Shaul fell on the ground his complete length and greatly feared because of the words of Shmuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. Who was Shaul speaking to here? Was it really Samuel? Shaul is the one who identified the spirit who came up as Samuel. Shaul was deceived by the lying spirit. Shaul himself said that Yah didn't answer him anymore and didn't speak to him by prophets or by dreams. Shaul lost his discernment. Remember when he was first anointed by Samuel? Shaul prophesied. He was filled with Yah's spirit. And now, look how low he has sunk, to the point where he can't even hear the voice of Yah anymore. He can't discern anything anymore. And he becomes a victim of this lying, deceiving spirit who appears to him in the form of Samuel. And he even tells this woman, you know, we know Yah's word speaks against spiritists and mediums and necromancers, people who talk to the dead. And Shaul tells her, swears by Yah, that no harm is going to come to her. That's how far Shaul had fallen. You know, don't think that you can't be deceived. Don't ever think that you can't be deceived. The lying spirit is very cunning and subtle and deceitful and will play on your emotions and come to you when you're weak and whisper to you and seek to deceive you and change your mind and make you question, just like Adam and Chava did. Did Yah really say? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved ones, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of Elohim, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yehoshua Messiah has come in the flesh is of Elohim. And every spirit that does not confess that Yehoshua Messiah has come in the flesh is not of Elohim. And this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you heard is coming and now is already in the world. You are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And he gives us discernment, and he gives us the ability to reason and to compare and to choose the right over the wrong and to know the difference between the two. And John's words here tell us that the lying, deceiving spirit will come to us. He is warning. You know, there are so many things that look so good and seem right and seem like things that we should do. You know, there's so many traditions associated with religion. And people hold on to those things because they love the tradition and it makes them feel good. It's something comfortable for them, something they're used to doing, and something they sort of run to, you know, when they're feeling lost or something is upsetting them. You know, they comfort themselves with those things, those traditions, those rituals. And even though they seem right to them and they've grown up with them and they have always practiced those things, that doesn't make it right. And our discernment, deep down inside, we know what is right and what is wrong. You know, we come out of the world because we desire the truth and because we desire to grow close to our Abba. And we have to use our discernment to know what is of him and what is not. You know, when Peter, Shimon Kepha, when he stepped out of the boat, he did not take a step. He did not move until Yeshua called to him. Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Then, when Yeshua told him to come, then he stepped out of the boat. It is not up to us to decide when to step out of the boat. We must be willing, but we must also use the discernment we are given and know what spirit is speaking to us. You know, and Kepha properly discerned that it was Yeshua. Remember, they were all scared. He discerned it was Yeshua, and then he stepped out of the boat. You know, we're going to be called on to step out of the boat. And it's a big step. And we don't know how far it is until we're walking on top of the water. But when he calls to us and tells us to come to him, we have to discern and then take action. We have to discern the spirits. We have to know what spirit is coming to us. Is it the spirit of Yah, or is it that lying, deceiving spirit who hides and doesn't show his true self and seeks only to kill us and harm us and hurt us? Learn to discern. It's going to be life and death for us.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.